Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, the text for this morning's meditation comes to us out of the gospel lesson from St. Luke. Just a couple of words that Jesus uses in overcoming one of the temptations he was put to as he spent some time in the presence of the devil himself out in the desert. It says, "And Jesus answered him," him being the devil, "Jesus answered him, 'It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" That's our text for today. Dear friends in Christ, you take a look at the front of your folder this morning. What you've got there is a picture of the Ten Commandments. For those of you listening on the internet, the picture is that of a scroll that has been unrolled. And on the face of that scroll, we have the list of the Ten Commandments. Now, all of the mainstream denominations recognize these Ten Commandments, albeit they number them a little differently, but they all get the same Ten Commandments in. The differences in numbering come mostly from the Second Commandment. For some, it's understood to say, "You shall not use God's name frivolously or in vain." And then down the way, they divide coveting among the ninth and tenth commandment. Other denominations will suggest that the second commandment says, "You shall not make idols or graven images." And they take all of the coveting business and lump it together in one commandment at the end, the tenth commandment. But it really doesn't matter. But no matter how these commandments are numbered, the list is the same. What it does is cover our relationship with God and our relationships with one another. And all of that is gathered under the umbrella of love. They can easily be boiled down into just a couple of statements. You shall love God with all your heart, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I think as we look at the commandments, we must all agree that keeping these commandments perfectly is difficult. Now, it probably should be a stronger statement than that. We must all agree that keeping these commandments perfectly is impossible. All of us have broken at least one of the ten. And the Bible says, if you break one, then you are guilty of breaking them all. Now, the reason God says that is so that we won't be judgmental of one another. It kind of lumps us all together as sinners, none worse than any other. You break one, you've broken them all. Now, it begs the question, why do we have 10 of them? If that's the case, if you break one, it's the same as breaking them all. Perhaps you really don't need 10 commandments. 5 perhaps would do just fine, or maybe 2 would be plenty. In fact, perhaps 1 commandment would be enough. Maybe it could be something like, you shall always behave in a godly manner. I suspect that commandment would catch us all in disobedience somewhere along the way, and in fact would do the job of the Ten Commandments with regard to labeling us all as sinners. Because you see, godliness is something that we all strive for, but godliness is something we all fail to achieve perfectly. So we could get the job done with one commandment. Seems like perhaps 10 commandments is a bit of overkill if one would do the job. If one would get us all labeled as equal sinners so that none of us could boast, so that none of us could point the judgmental finger at anyone else and say, well, he's a worse sinner than me. Or look there, she's a worse sinner than me. Or I'm less of a sinner than everyone else. you know, it prevents us from being able to do that. What do you think? One commandment would be enough, right? Well, perhaps not. You know, maybe some of us don't want to be in the same boat with everybody else. We don't want to be lumped together with the so-called riffraff. After all, we try hard every day not to sin. And that ought to count for something. Don't you think? Some people don't care at all. Don't care one bit. They do and don't do whatever they please. Some people even plan to sin using a kind of deliberate premeditation. And to be honest, we'd rather not be counted with those people. So with that in mind, we might suggest that the list of 10 is a good thing. In fact, a longer list would be even better. That way we could keep score. We could separate the men from the boys, so to speak. Maybe we should stick with the 10. Well, look again at your folder. Internet people, what we've got here is the scroll at the top of the page with the 10 commandments on it. And at the bottom of the page, a little block with four more commandments on it. Now, I found these extra four commandments as I read through the lessons assigned to be read today in church. For instance, the 11th commandment comes to us out of the Old Testament lesson. It says, "You shall give of your first fruits." Well, that's a stewardship commandment. It means simply that our gifts to God, our gifts to the church, should come first. They should come from the top of the list and not from the bottom. It just wants us to take care of the needs of the church first and then everything else after that. The 12th commandment that I've got written down for you comes from the epistle lesson. It says, "You shall confess me in the world." This is a kind of evangelism commandment, I suppose, is the way to put it, because it is our responsibility, you see, to share our faith with others. The 13th commandment on your cover also comes from the epistle lesson. It says, "You shall treat everyone the same." This is a kind of non-discrimination commandment that simply indicates that everyone is entitled to equal treatment. And then the 14th commandment from the gospel lesson for today says, "You shall rout the devil at every opportunity." This is a kind of self-defense commandment. This is one that says we should defend ourselves from the devil by commanding him to be gone. And if we do that, he must go away. So then now, instead of 10 commandments, it looks as though I've found at least 14. And in reality, if you get looking around in Scripture, you can find commandments all over the place in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. In fact, we even have some commandments given by Jesus himself. So you see, there may be not just 14, but there may be hundreds, even thousands of commandments. Yeah, I keep thinking maybe it'd be kind of fun to search for them sometime. Good topic for Bible study. Maybe we'll try it someday. Now, the problem is, what do we do about the extra four commandments that I found? You know, the fact is, we all agree we have enough trouble keeping the ones we already have. Now there are at least four, and who knows how many more commandments to be found in Scripture. As hard as we have tried, we have flunked the first 10. As hard as we may try, we'll probably flunk the next four. And in fact, there's little doubt that our efforts with 100 or 1,000 more commandments will be any different. If that's the case, how can we possibly proceed through life with any semblance of piety, any semblance of perfection? How can we possibly proceed through life with any freedom from guilt? How will we ever be able to hold our heads high as God's obedient people, or as examples to the rest of the world of what godliness is all about? Well, it's true. We have nothing to brag about. We can hardly boast regarding our performance in the past. However, there is another very interesting point to consider here. That is this. Just as we are all equally sinful in God's eyes. You remember his rule. You break one commandment, it is as though you broke them all. Adding another 4 or another 100 or another 1,000 commandments doesn't change that. You break one, you break them all. We will always be equal in our sinfulness. To God, a sinner is a sinner, period. That being said, however, because of Jesus, because of his suffering and death, we are all equally redeemed, forgiven, and pardoned. In God's eyes, the number of sins forgiven is a non-issue. In God's eyes, the nature of the offenses pardoned is of no consequence. In God's eyes, redemption is complete for all sinners. So it looks like God has two rules. His first rule, remember, is if it says if we break one commandment, we have broken them all. And his second rule is obviously when he forgives one, he forgives all. We, each of you and I, as equal sinners, are also equally saved. So you see, we can hold our heads high, not because we did a great job of keeping the commandments, but because Jesus did a great job of earning our forgiveness. We can hold our heads high, not because we don't deserve punishment, but because Jesus was punished in our place for us. We can hold our heads high, not because we earned a place in heaven for ourselves, but because heaven is promised to us by God for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. The operative word in all of this morning is one little three-letter word, T-R-Y, try. No matter how many commandments there turns out to be, all we have to do is try to keep them. We must wake up each day with the attitude that we will not sin this day. And then we must try our best to keep that pledge, reminding ourselves of it throughout the day. We must try our best to use every ounce of our willpower to fight temptations with all of our might. We must try using God's promise to ban the devil from our presence when we drive him away in the name of Jesus. And we must try to avoid people, places, and things that tempt us. We must try. God knows that we are not perfect. That's why he sent his Son to be perfect for us. That's why his Son paid for sins he didn't do. He paid for our sins. God knows that our best efforts will fall short of perfection. That's why he covers us with the perfection of Christ. And that perfection is what God sees in each of us. That's why he promises us eternal life in paradise. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace we have, knowing that just as we are equally sinful, we are all equally forgiven and saved. May that peace keep us in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.